Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. You're going to be glad you did because our good friend Bob Kuska is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Bob is a member of our Brain Trust, and Bob is a former Gillette executive and helped create some really incredible innovations there. While he was at Gillette, he now has his own business, the Fusion Factor. And he's here to talk to us about some very important HR issues that you and I need to know about, especially in the area when we start acquiring companies and bringing in employees. And this is happening all over the world. One small business is acquiring another small business, and they're putting those groups of people together, and it can work, but there are things that you have to do, and Bob knows about those things. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you here. Now, and by the way, folks, Bob is the guy who introduced me to Gillette's new Fusion razor. Isn't that what it's called, Fusion?
It's called the Fusion, right.
The Fusion.
Right.
Now, let me tell you something, gentlemen and ladies. I don't know about your legs, but guys, you ought to try that product, because I'm telling you, I've been a Gillette user all my life, and I was a Track 2 guy for 30 plus years, probably.
1973, Track 2 was introduced.
I'm telling you, I was a Track 2 guy for over 30 years then, and I had one of those things that lasted forever and ever. But this new Fusion thing, guys, if you're looking for it's got a little battery in it. It's like a combination of an electric shaver and a straight shaver, right? I mean, a safety razor.
Exactly.
It's pretty good stuff.
It is a great shave. I use it myself.
Yeah, it's good. So, folks, I always like passing along good information when I have it. You know, Bob, I've got a good friend up in your part of the world, not too far from you, I think, that Mitchell. What's his first name? Anyway, he owns Mitchell Richards Clothing. Jack Mitchell. I'll get his name out of him. Jack Mitchell.
Okay.
And he, over the last few years, he has acquired some other companies. He acquired Richards Clothing Store, and now he's acquired another one out on Long Island. This is a Connecticut
mm-hmm.
company.
Mm-hmm.
He's acquired another one out on Long Island. And he has done some genius stuff. The way he's brought the cultures of those two different organizations together and made them, you know, sort of buy in, helped them buy into the original culture. It's really amazing how successful he's done that. It takes a lot of planning, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And it sounds like your friend paid attention to it very early on in the process.
He did.
Which, unfortunately, a lot of people don't.
Do you think a lot of people, you think that some people actually don't realize that there are cultures in every organization?
I've seen it happen many times, Jim, because the acquiring organization is focusing on cost. So they come in,
yep.
They have to pay a lot of money to acquire this asset. And so they look at, you know, the financials, they look at the assets, the physical plant, they look at where they're going to sell in their territories. And the last thing they look at is the people.
And they probably also think, well, we're the victor, we're the dominant one, we're the ones who's taking over.
Yeah.
So these people, you know, if they ever give a thought to culture or the way that the organization should behave together, they probably think, well, these other people we're acquiring, they need to conform to us.
You know, you're able to acquire because you've been a successful company. And sometimes what got you there won't get you there. So you come in and you apply your measures of success to this new acquisition, and it may not work.
Yeah, and I like what you said. And what I'd like to maybe modify a little bit, what got you there, folks, might not keep you there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the things that I see, Jim, is that a big change in today's world is that you're acquiring knowledge. It's not just the physical assets.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a key member of your workforce, if you're a small company, walk away because they say, gee, I don't really want to operate like this new company, or they don't value me. When I worked for the Blasingame Company, this was a family-owned business, and I liked the way they treated me. And this new corporate client doesn't treat me the same way.
Mm-hmm. That's happened many, many times when I've seen small businesses being taken over by larger businesses. And
yeah.
You wind up with a lot of unhappy people. When we come back, I want to talk to Bob about employees as part of the brand. How much of our brands do our employees play? What part do they play in that? We're going to do that right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. That's where you can find, the first one is where you can find the show and all the things that we do here, the articles, the Brain Trust members. Subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our blog. All that at smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. is our knowledge base. That's where you can get small business answers now, and I hope you'll check that out. Boy, howdy, we had a record month last month in both of those websites, and we really appreciate you guys using it. It makes me so happy to know that we're creating stuff that you're using and benefiting from, and we appreciate that very much. Bob Kuska is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Bob is a member of our Brain Trust, the founder of Fusion Factor. And Bob, tell us about Fusion Factor.
Well, Fusion Factor, Jim, is a workplace productivity consulting firm. What we do is we help the small business owner to take a look at their people and processes and make sure they're getting what they're paying for.
Now, one of the things that, and by the way, give us that website.
The website is www.thefusionfactor.com.
All right, so check that out, folks. Bob, one of the things that I try to talk a lot about on the show, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this, is I'm trying to get small business owners to really value their brands more, to
mm-hmm.
recognize that they have brands, and to see what their brands are for what they are, even though they don't have a Nike brand or a Coca-Cola brand or a Gillette brand, but they still have brands. And but I'm also trying to help them find part of the value in their brands, maybe a lot of the value in their brands, in the relationships that their employees build with customers. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me give you an example, Jim. One of my clients is a large office supply company, and his truck drivers are a very important part of his brand.
Right.
They go in, and they deliver to the client, and if he moves a truck driver on a route, they say, hey, where's Joe? We like him. And he
right.
practiced what he calls customer intimacy by
right.
building good relationships with his people and his customers.
When I was with Xerox back in the 70s and early 80s, Bob, you know, my customers might have liked me, but they loved their technician.
Mm-hmm.
Their technician was the one who kept their machine working and everything. And I always felt like that was an undervalued part of the Xerox brand were the technicians.
Yep, absolutely. And what's happening in today's world, Jim, is that there's much more focus on what we're calling human capital.
Yeah.
You know, what are your people worth?
Right.
And building a strong employment brand. You know, why do your people come to you, and why do they stay? I call this an EVP, an employee value proposition.
Right. And so these are the kinds of attitudes you need to take into any kind of an acquisition you make, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And taking the time, I call this a risk assessment. Taking the time to look at your culture, and especially if you are the one acquiring, and saying, how does my culture match up to this new asset that I'm acquiring?
Mm-hmm.
Making sure that you listen to the people, that you understand what has made them successful to date, you look for best practices, and also look for those key players that you can't afford to lose.
and you can't replace. And you know, and the other thing you can do is to not believe that the way you always did it is the right way. I mean, this new entity may have some ideas that you hadn't thought of. That's, you know, some better ideas.
Yeah, I just had one of my clients able to hire 60 people in sales. This is a large company, because the competitor was acquired by a large corporation and they weren't paying attention to their brand.
Mm-hmm.
And think about how much business walked out the door when 60 people came over.
Your client has an opportunity now to hire 60 people to fill that vacuum?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. And so the acquiring company in this case made a deal for X amount of dollars and lost money on that deal because a lot of client business walked to the competition.
Okay, so Bob, you're making an excellent point. So we got a lot of people in the audience who have acquired or are acquiring or will be acquiring another company, but there's a lot more people than that who are saying right now, well, Blasingame, I'm not going to acquire anybody this year. Why do I care about this? Well, let me tell you something, my friends. Bob just told you why you should care about what we're talking about. Because somewhere in your marketplace this year, a competitor is going to do something that's going to tick off a bunch of customers. And maybe their employees. And that's an opportunity you need to take advantage of. Go call on those customers and try to hire those employees.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be your merger and acquisition. It could be somebody else's merger and acquisition that makes an opportunity for you.
Yeah. You should always be on the hunt for talent. Even if you're only, you know, five people or six people, could you add a key performer, and does that performer become available because of something that's happened in the marketplace?
Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. There are a lot of things going on right now. Not that we care that much about Wall Street all that much here on Main Street, Bob, but you got this Bear Stearns J.P. Morgan thing going on.
Yeah.
Morgan's, you know, basically Bear Stearns was about to go bankrupt. The Fed stepped in and basically was the agent to make the deal happen to get J.P. Morgan to acquire Bear Stearns. How's that going to work?
Well, it remains to be seen how it's going to work financially. The good news is that it's propped up a company that we could not afford to let go out of business.
You think it was the right thing to do?
Yeah, I think it was the right thing to do. How they complete on it and implement it remains to be seen. Because, again, so many of these companies don't pay attention to the culture. And integrating that whole deal and doing that successfully. If I'm a Bear Stearns guy right now, I'm probably worried about my job.
Of course, the first thing they did is they laid off 7,000 people, half their people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
All right, stand by. Quick break. Right back with Bob Kuska. He's got some more good stuff for us. He's the president of Fusion Factor. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
And your love to come on and rescue me. Come on, baby.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And we're talking with our good friend Bob Kuska about the cultures of different companies when you merge them, when you combine them. How does it work? You know, Bob, one of the things that happens when any two big companies merge, for sure, there's an awful lot of fear and anxiety in the early days because nobody knows. There's obviously going to be some consolidation. There's obviously going to be some layoffs. You know, you don't know if the things that you've always held dear in your company, if they're going to, you know, they're going to endure. They probably won't. In a small business, you know, big businesses just have to deal with that. That's just the nature of big businesses. But a small business can't afford that, can they?
No, they can't. They can't. And, you know, the small business can do the same thing, Jim, that the big business should be doing in terms of how they look at this. Number one, they need to communicate to the people, especially in the acquired company. Here's what's going on. Here's what you can expect from us. You know, we're going to honor these things. There may be some changes, but we'll let you know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the main things is to talk to the people, settle them down, and say, you know, okay, you know, and frankly, it doesn't need to be a speech. It needs to be dialogue, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It does. You know, think about change, Jim. You know, we don't like change when it's done to us. But when we're doing change, we're buying a new house or a new car, we like change. So if you involve people early on in what the change might be, mm-hmm. they can be willing participants.
And that's a good idea, and to get them to be involved with you and to contribute. And but the other thing that needs to happen is you need to identify when you're doing a merger, and you're trying to make sure that people are excited about what the future is going to look like, is you need to make sure that you also talk to them about how things are going to be improved. You know, maybe the new organization is going to have better capitalization. Maybe you're going to have, you know, better benefits, whatever it may be. You need to be able to talk about those things, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You assume that the acquisition is being made because it's going to make the acquiring company a stronger company, right?
Right.
They bought this business for a purpose.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So sell that message, and I don't mean sell in a false way, but, you know, you should be almost marketing to your employees. Mm-hmm. This is what we do, and this is why it's going to be better.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that happens in the timing of all this sort of thing is different in a small business than it is in a big business. A lot of times when big businesses merge, there's a lot of discussion for months in advance, maybe. And so, you know, everybody has to talk about it and all that. In a little business, when two little businesses merge, Bob, oftentimes the deal is done before any employees even know about it.
Yeah, I know. And that's one of the challenges, because the two owners are speaking and they're not talking to other people quite often.
And it actually kind of has to be that way.
Yeah, it does. It does, because you don't want people to get all excited and then not have the deal go through.
Right.
And you've caused a lot of concern for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you have to look at your timeline and say, when are we going to? You have to keep it closely confidential until you're ready to release, and then say, okay, who are we going to be involved in this discussion, and when are we going to release this information to everybody? And coordinate that very carefully.
I'd like to recommend to small business owners who are going through this kind of a process, I'd like to recommend that they find somebody to help them, a professional, to help them with this kind of a transition with the people. Bob, what do you think about that idea?
I think that's a great idea. Some people do have the resource internally if they're large enough. Many do not. And
yeah.
It's like having a fresh set of eyes coming in and look at your house when you're redoing it, right?
Yeah.
You're
mm-hmm.
living in it. You know every nook and cranny. But having someone come in and say, hey, have you looked at this? Quite often, Jim, when I ask my clients questions about these things, they haven't even considered some of the things that I ask them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it's like you said in the very beginning, Bob, there's so many things going on, so many deal points that have to be put together and that you got to focus on, that a lot of times the human factor gets pushed to the side.
Yeah. Now, I think people are starting to see that it's more important, Jim, but it's been, you know, four or five pegs down the list of things that people are looking at.
Well, 30 years ago, when you and I were young pups, Bob, when there was a merger, people didn't necessarily abandon ship because they needed the job. They wanted to work. But today,
right.
People will leave you in the drop of a hat if they're
right.
not happy. And you got to figure out how to keep them on board, don't you?
Yeah, especially this younger generation, Jim. You know, their parents were downsized and outsourced and all that.
Yep.
And they won't have the loyalty to the organization that you and I had 30 years ago.
That's exactly right. You might wind up managing yourself if you don't watch out. Hey, Bob, give us that website one more time, please.
It's www.thefusionfactor.com.
Thefusionfactor.com, all right. And, Bob, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see. Hey, when's your book coming out?
The book is due for publication in 2009. We're still
All
working
right.
on it.
We expect you to launch it on the show.
Thank you, sir. We will.
Thanks. Bob Kuska, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be too, but it won't be today. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.